The Recognition Revolution, why your best technicians feel invisible. Join passionate automotive trainer and coach Andrew Uglow as he explores why technicians feel unappreciated and unrecognized in modern workshops. In this episode, you'll learn the critical difference between validation and recognition, discover how the 5-to-1 positive feedback ratio transforms workplace culture, and understand why career progression isn't always about climbing the management ladder. Along the way, Andrew shares some great stories, including groundbreaking research from orphanages that reveals the exact ratio of positive to negative feedback needed for human flourishing, and why promoting your best technician to management might be the worst decision you've ever made. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Frictionless Workshop Podcast. Let's get cranking. Andrew, I think we should take a look at another source of complaint that happens, which is they don't get enough recognition, technicians.
Yeah.
Is that true? How do we tackle that one? Because recognition is such a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's everyone's different in how they might perceive that.
Right. So this plays in, and there's been some really great studies around this. David Rock with his SCARF model and, you know, the social brain, you know, and the sort of different things that people value, different personality styles have different drivers for what's important to them and being perceived as valued and appreciated and recognized. And like, if you really want to dive right into it, you know, you can start to talk about the, you know, the love languages and all this sort of stuff. Like, there's a whole scale and variety of different research and ideas around this. I also want to, in this one, you know, I don't get enough recognition. They don't care is kind of the underpinning vibe here. And it also has a, I don't know, a sister or a brother. And that sister or brother is there's no career progression, because recognition and progression are kind of, I don't know, first cousins or something. They're very related. And so I ask the question, well, okay, so you don't feel that they value your contribution. Is that what you're telling me? Or is it you just, is it something else happening for you internally at a deeper personal level? And it's about your self-worth, you know, which one of these are we dealing with? Or is it both? And so we want to test this, because I'm not sure that it is the business's job to be responsible for meeting the individual's personal psychological needs. Now, I'm not suggesting that you can ignore them. And at the same time, I'm going to go, well, whose responsibility actually is that? Because that's the technicians, really. And maybe there's some learning that needs to happen there. Maybe there's some training that needs to happen there. And this is, can I offer, this is something, again, the industry in general, but automotive industry is horrific at, just really, really bad at dealing with. They just play at one level, one axis, and they never understand and haven't understood and don't seem to want to understand what's actually really going on for people. So I'm going to get to answer the question, don't get enough recognition or appreciation. Is that true? Yes, it is absolutely positively true, without question. And I double dog dare anyone, like here and now, I double dog dare anyone listening to come out and go, Andrew, actually, no, that's true. I feel deeply appreciated in the workshop that I work for. I can't wait to get out of bed on a Monday morning and go to work, because I just know that I'm going to have a fantastic day, because it's the best workplace I've ever worked in. Now, show me those people, which, can I say, is like, we joke about that, but that's profoundly sad, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because people's reaction to this kind of stuff, it's so different. And I think we live in an age where people want immediate recognition all the time, right? Isn't it? It's just with, you know, social media is like that. It's causing us to do that. Why haven't people looked at my post in the last 5 minutes? Why is there only this many likes versus not that many? What does recognition actually look like? And it's this dopamine hit that people are striving for all the time that they can't really put their hands on what it actually means.
Right. And Simon Sinek does some outstanding work in this area, if you want to understand what's actually going on. You know, one of the things that we know about, and we'll call it out, right? We'll talk about millennials. This plays out, and I see, again, I train people and coach people that are just starting their apprenticeship. And I also work with people who've been in the industry for as long or longer than I have. But I get the same complaint across all of them. One of the big changes, though, between the different generations is I generally find that the older generation are looking for more appreciation for results, whereas the younger generation tend to be looking for more validation as a person, as a distinction. And so the idea of validation versus recognition, what are we talking about here? That would be worth testing. And one of the things that we know about the new generation is that they want to work in a workplace that they can contribute, that, that what they do has a meaning, has a purpose. They want to leave a mark, but they want to do it yesterday. You know, like they go, well, you know, I want to shift and change the industry. Well, that's a process. It's not an event. And so I go back to the idea of how we run businesses, and we run businesses with a financial frame. We take a financial management approach to looking after people. And people go, well, you know, no, we don't just do that. Yes and no. That's the underpinning thing. Like when it all gets stripped back, it comes back to the money. It comes back to the dollars. And I don't know a person ever who at school, you know, when they said, you know, Andrew, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be 100% efficient in a workshop. I want to be 150% efficient in a workshop. I don't know anyone that said that. But I know a stack of people, hundreds, arguably thousands of people who go, I just want to fix cars. I just want to work on cars. I want to be around technology. I want to find problems and fix them. I want to, you know, that's what I want to do when I grow up. You know, that's the sort of thing. I want to make a difference with my hands somehow.
And that's the interesting thing though, isn't it? When you talk about that and people wanting to make a difference, pairing that with the idea of recognition, a lot of it comes in that concept of recognizing people in a way that's more casual and less, you know, people often think about recognition is, well, we've got an end of year rewards. You're going to get the award for, you know, or we have employee of the month. And they're nice. Don't get me wrong. Those things can be nice. But recognition can often come by, you know, the manager coming in and say, you did a great job today, Andrew. You know, I really think that what you did there, it was efficient. It was well done. Thank you. That sometimes is everything in comparison because it builds that emotional bond, which is what recognition is really about.
Right. And this is one of the pieces that's a huge gap in certainly how workshops are managed as we try to manage it without the emotion. Like I say, we apply a financial model. And like when you're managing a business, functioning from a financial frame is a very, very sensible, reasonable thing to do, right? Like, please don't stop doing that. And at the same time, don't apply that model to working with people. You need a different model to manage the people, right? Because the people produce your results. And so the people have emotions. And so you need a model that can facilitate that, that can encompass that separate to, but in parallel with the financial model, right? There's crossovers, they're related. There was a study done and years ago, and I went looking for, I wrote some notes on this. I was in a training event and I cannot for the life of me find the study, so I can't quote this, but I do have what I wrote down. And this is going back some years. This is the sort of study that would be banned today. Like the people would be arrested and thrown in prison as child abusers. And arguably, they probably should have been. But this particular study was done in an orphanage. And what they looked at was the amount of positive reinforcement versus negative reinforcement. What's the ratio? And it was somewhere in the vicinity of 5 to 6 to 1. So for 5 to 6 positive reinforcements to 1 negative reinforcement, what they got was a more balanced, better behaved, more settled person. And remember, we're dealing with kids, right? And they found that more than that didn't make any difference. Less than that had a negative impact. That was kind of the scale. And so the question then was asked, well, what is it today? Like, what is the ratio that we as people experience in day-to-day life? And so rather than 5 positives to 1 negative, it's 1 positive to 22 negatives. And you just go, well, okay, let's presuppose that that's true. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But let's pretend that that's true. What sort of impact is that having on the people? You know, if happy people make good employees and good employees are profitable, if I'm backwards in terms of recognition and appreciation at a scale of 22 to 1, like how is that helping people? How is that facilitating, you know, any sort of motivation, engagement, all these sorts of things that we know make a difference to business bottom line?
Thank you for listening to the Frictionless Workshop podcast. For details on how to get Andrew working with you and your technicians, take a look at the show notes. There's also a link to some special content you can access. I'm Anthony Pearl, reminding you to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I suppose you've got to look at that as well and say, okay, there's two ways of looking that 22 to 1. is saying, okay, is it because we really couldn't find anything positive about this person to say, and therefore problem actually is the person, maybe it's time to move them on, versus we're just not very good at recognition. And those 22 incidents that we talk about may have been over an extended period of time, and we've missed daily opportunities to recognize people.
Right. And now we're, I think we're really starting to get to the crux of this concern. And I point to this with career progression too, just as a slight deviation before coming back. Oh, there's no career progression in automotive. Well, where do you want to go? So I start my time as an apprentice, and let me talk about me. Just, what's that joke? That's enough about me. Tell me, what do you think of me? But let me give you my story. So I was really fortunate. I was one of 200 people that applied for an apprenticeship, and they were man enough to give me one. So I left school at 15, and because I got an apprenticeship, because they were so hard in anything, you know, they were hen's teeth. And so I figured that, well, I'll just go back to school at the end of it if I hate it. I'll get my trade, because this is the feedback that we had. You know, Andrew, get a trade, get a job, get a school, and you'll be right for life. You'll always have a job. And yes, that's been largely true. So I did my time as an apprentice. I then moved into workshop. I started to run the workshop. I moved out of aftermarket into dealership, and that was a bit of a cultural shock for me. I became the problem solver. Arguably, I created a few as well, but all the weird, funky, bizarre cars were my thing. I was never the fastest tech in the workshop, but gee whiz, I could untangle some weird, funky stuff. That was my skill. And so out of that, I moved into training, because I hit that threshold where it's like, well, hang on a minute, I'm doing the automotive equivalent of walking on water. You know, like I'm producing miracles for you day in, day out, and you're paying other people more than me. And I go back to that idea, you're not paying me enough money. And how do you do your comparison? And so I moved into training, because training paid more money, and it used my skill. And so from training, I ended up running training to being national training manager to moving into my own business. And I go, well, if there's no career progression, if that's really, where do you want to go? Do you want to own a workshop? And people go, well, no, I don't want to deal with customers. Well, okay, don't deal with customers. And I talk about the idea, the difference between career progression and development. What are you actually looking for? Do you want all this responsibility, or do you want to get better at what you do? Do you want to be developed as a person? Do you want to have, you know, more impact? Is training the path for you? Is workshop management the path for you? Do you want to take these skills that you've learned in automotive and go and apply them in business? Because, and again, let me put on my automotive hat. And again, I double dog dare anyone to tell me that I'm wrong. If you can be successful in an automotive workshop with the complexity of technology, with the intensity and density of information, with the time pressure and the expectations placed on you, if you can do that, there is very little in life that you're going to come across that's harder. Like, unless you're making cold fusion in your back shed or something like that, you know, like you're dealing in the realm of theoretical physics. You're going to be hard pressed to find something more stressful and more difficult to do. And so if you take those skills, well, who says that you have to stay in automotive? Or maybe you do, maybe you go and start your own business. Maybe you like, there's all of these opportunities. So the idea that there's no career progression, what are you actually looking for? And I'm going to argue that it's development that's the piece that they're talking about for the most part. Certainly this is what I've discovered in talking with techs. You go, there's no career progression. And it's like, well, actually, what do you want to do? Yeah, what do you want? And what are you prepared to do about it? And that's the discussion that needs to be had there. Coming back to the idea of not enough recognition, the excuses that I get, and, you know, call it recognition, call it progression, whatever. The excuses I get is time pressure. Oh, we're so busy. Oh, we're so busy. You know, we don't have enough staff. We don't have this. The customer's evil. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Sure, got it. That's the reality. And at the same idea, that is just the tip of the iceberg, throwaway, flimsy, easy seen through narrative excuse. It's palaver. I go back to, well, what are your ideas and perspectives on recognition and appreciation? Oh, well, they should be grateful to have a job. Okay. And like often what we find is when we start to test this with management, not always, but often, we're operating out of flawed values and we're operating out of antiquated beliefs. And if we were working with people in the 1850s, that would be perfect, but we're not. Society has emerged and developed a lot since then. And so I would describe this as non-development. This should have been addressed. This should have been taught. This should have been like, here's the framework for coaching. Here's the framework for encouragement. Here's the framework for giving feedback. And people don't have this. And so as a consequence, our people suffer. And so our people feel disengaged because this is, sure, it's a financial business, but it's emotional, the work. And if you don't address the emotion, well, it stays unaddressed, and that has different ways of outworking in behavior, and none of them are good.
Yeah. And emotions, it's such an interesting one as well, because sometimes not always just about the work itself, is it? I mean, it is about shared values and beliefs. It's the recognition can be for, hey, good on you for taking your family away for the weekend, or it doesn't have to be about the work.
It's about the relationship and actually giving a damn about the people that invest their time in your business to look after your customers and appreciating for that. And I go back to this, we talk about the three R's. We talk about reward, recognition, and resourcing. And these are like the three big drivers that if you aren't addressing those things, you're going to get some really, really direct feedback as a consequence of that. And people will abandon your business in spades because they don't have all of or some of those. And I go back to the idea, if we start looking in dealerships specifically or larger workshops where we've got a team of people, in the past, historically, that was the role of the foreman. Like, who has more face time with any of your techs, you as the manager or the owner, or your foreman / workshop controller? Who has more face time? Well, that would be the controller foreman. Nine times out of 10, unless you're in a small shop. But in a bigger shop, sort of 8+, it's your foreman. So who's responsible then? Who's the professional here that's responsible for doing that? Well, that's the foreman. Did you teach him how to do it? Did you give him any training? Did you give him any people skills, like any? Or did you just give him technical training? Because if you just gave him technical training, he'll be awesome technically. But what about his people skills? And automotive industry is guilty as charged, is just profoundly dysfunctional in the idea of promoting people and never giving them training. And it is the cause of so much pain, so much anguish, so much customer dissatisfaction, so much job dissatisfaction, and the impact that it has on the bottom line of the business is breathtaking. If we actually cared to measure it, like meaningfully measure it, it is horrendous. Just as an indicative close, KPMG, the big accounting firm, did back in, I think it was 2022 or 2023, did a dive into the cost of staff turn in metropolitan dealerships, and the average metropolitan dealership loses more than $1 million a year in staff turn. And so the question is, well, why are we turning so many staff? Is everyone really that poor? Are they really that crap at their job? Or is there something else going on? Because if it was one or two people, yeah, you'd point to the person. Oh, you know, we can't find good people today. Sure, got it. And with respect, you can't make chicken salad from chicken feathers, right? You got to have some quality to start with. But $1 million? Like $1 million. Like most people don't have that in their super. $1 million a year.
And I think, Andrew, there's a whole different topic that we might get into in a future episode. But the reality is that promoting the best technician to be the manager isn't necessarily always the right decision, because management itself is a particular path, a career, and not everyone is up for that. And sometimes it's about who is the best manager versus who is the best technician. And that can be what leads to this whole issue that you've been talking about in terms of recognition problem, because the right person to be the manager is not in that position.
Right. And I go back to the idea of career progression. Okay, there's some people who can do it. There's some people who can't do it. There's some people who could but won't. And there's some that absolutely positively shouldn't. Do not promote that person. And it's not a metric of their value as an individual. It's just you don't have the skill, or you don't have the personality. You're far better off being paid more money to fix cars, because that'll be a far better outcome for everyone, yourself firstly, but also the business and the customers, than moving you out the front to work with customers and you hating your life because of it.
And that wraps up our exploration of recognition and validation in the workshop, but we're just getting started with the technician's perspective. Coming up next, we're tackling one of the biggest myths in automotive, the idea that there's no career progression for technicians. Andrew shares his personal journey from apprentice to business owner and reveals why automotive skills prepare you for life's toughest challenges. Plus, we'll explore career paths that most technicians never considered. The career progression myth drops shortly, so make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. This is the Frictionless Workshop podcast, produced by podcastdoneforyou.online. All details in the show notes.